Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Don't Quote Me. I'm your host, Orla Condon, and this week I am joined by Kiki Monique, otherwise known on every corner of the internet as the Talk of Shame. A content creator, podcaster, and internet gossiper, Kiki is an authority on all things housewives, pop culture, and bagels. With over 300,000 followers and nearly 7 million likes on TikTok, if you're not following Kiki already, you're absolutely missing out. Coming up on today's show, Adam Levine caught up in cheating scandal as multiple women come forward with receipts days after wife Mahati Prinsloo announces she's pregnant. Armie Hammer's ex-wife speaks out about co-parenting and learning to heal after shocking docuseries shares horrific details of alleged abuse. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are earning their keep with yet another shocking altercation. And the ladies of Salt Lake City and Potomac prepare to return to our screens. In other news, Kiki is telling me all about the TV drama series she's loving right now and the TikTok rant she cannot stop watching, while I'm trying to convince her why to start watching Married at First Sight UK and The Crown ahead of its return in November. And finally, as Florence Pugh can finally say goodbye to her Don't Worry Darling colleagues as the movie premieres this weekend, you guys are telling us about the colleagues from hell in your own lives. Let's get stuck in. All right, guys, it's episode 2. I feel like we've shaken off the nerves. We're a little bit looser this week. And thank God, because I'm going to say this every week, right? But I genuinely am excited to talk to these people. And this person, especially so. I found her on Instagram during the darkest days of COVID. And she brought light into my little life through her analysis of Real Housewives drama, which was my gateway drug into her. And ever since, she's been talking about all of the stories that have got me just so curious about pop culture and celebrity, the celebrity world and all that kind of stuff. You definitely know her. If you don't, get your phone out immediately and start following her. Kiki Monique, otherwise known as the Talk of Shame. It is such a joy to talk to you.
I love being here. I feel like I'm in Ireland again, which is like one of my favorite places in the world.
When were you in Ireland?
It was literally like, I think right before the pandemic. I think I went in 20, or maybe it was further than that. It might have been much further than that. Everything feels like a haze before COVID. But before the pandemic, and it was so fun. Everyone was so nice. And I went for St. Patrick's Day, you know, seems like such an American thing to do. But it was actually so much fun.
I feel like that is very American, but also we love St. Patrick's Day. So also the crack is good. Like the vibe is good. And I feel like you probably kept those memories over COVID just to keep you nice and warm.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked at like how much fun everyone was having in the best corned beef and cabbage I've ever had in my life. I still dream about it to this day.
Corned beef. Oh, my God. That just reminds me of like my childhood. My dad used to eat it straight from the can. And ever since, I'm like, I can't with corned beef. I can't with corned beef. Kiki, we start every episode. I say every episode, we've only done one. So we're going to start episode 2 as we started episode 1. Generally, how has your week been? I know you have a very busy week coming up, which I am so excited to keep an eye on your Instagram.
I had a really fun week. I love wrestling. I don't know if like American wrestling is popular where you are, but like I have grown up on like WWE. And so yeah. I went to a women's wrestling match. There's like a women of wrestling show that's happening. And there was a live match in LA and I got to go and it was so fun. And it made me want to be a lady wrestler again.
So I have always, it's like a bucket list item. I want to go to like WWE SmackDown or one of them before I like hit the grave. I'm like, I need to experience this because everything I've heard is that like the audience experience is just electric, and it just sounds like such a bizarre night out. And I have to, was it WWE or was it like a separate?
It's called WOW, Women of Wrestling. It's like, I think okay. It's maybe like new. It's new to me. I hadn't heard of it before. So it's all women wrestlers, but same energy. Yeah. And like, it was so much fun.
Yeah, that's a goal. That is a goal. And when I tell people, they sound really surprised, because I feel like WWE was huge here when I was a child. Like when we were younger, it was really big. Not so much anymore. I guess like Divas and stuff brought it back and all those kind of things. But I feel like it's not the like cool thing to like as much anymore, where I'm like, I really still want to go and make that childhood dream happen.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, when I was growing up as a kid, it was really big, and then I let go of it. And it was actually reality shows that brought me back into loving wrestling again. Yeah. Because, you know, we know it's a fake thing. Like, I always call Real Housewives basically my wrestling. It's like, we know it's fake, but there's elements of like realness in it.
Yeah.
And having those reality shows for wrestling was cool because, look, these people are really putting their bodies through the ringer, and like all the training they have to do, like at this one facility in Florida, it's hardcore. So it was really cool. And like, obviously with the Divas and the Bella Twins, you know, I love them all.
The Divas was insane because you saw women like, people were just like, oh, it's fake, it's not real, they're all acting. I'm like, sorry, you try having a child and then coming back and performing the stunts that they're performing, and you tell me that that's not sport. Like,
yeah,
it's insane. Like, seeing the Bella Twins come back after pregnancies and do what they did, I was like, this is mental. Like, this is crazy.
They're amazing.
This is not a story we're covering today, but I'm glad we had a little quick debrief. We got stung right before our first episode launched last week. We were very excited, very nervous. And the night before, this story broke. We had already recorded, so it was tough shit for our listeners. It was like, we're going to do it next week. Thankfully, it's kind of rumbled on and we've got a little bit more to it. So we're going to cover it a little bit more retrospectively over the last week. It's been a pretty crap week for Adam Levine, right? Like, it's been a pretty bad week to be, more so Bahati Prinsloo. I feel like it's a worse week to be Bahati Prinsloo. Bit of backstory for anyone who doesn't know what the story is or doesn't know who these people are. Shame on you. Adam Levine, frontman of Maroon 5, began dating Victoria's Secret model Bahati Prinsloo in 2012, married in 2014, was officiated by Jonah Hill. Fun little fact I learned in my research. Didn't know that. Welcomed their first child in 2016, second child in 2018. Earlier this month, Bahati announced that she was expecting their third child days later. An Instagram model called Sumner Stroh posted on TikTok claiming that she had been having a year-long affair with Adam and that things had kind of fizzled out. And months later, he popped back up in the DMs saying that him and his wife were having a child and he wanted to name the child Sumner, her own name. And was like, is that okay? Is that cool? You chill with that. She then shared these screenshots with a couple of friends, one of which did the dog and went to the tabloids and tried to sell the story. When Sumner was approached for comment, she tried to beat them to the punch and put up this TikTok video outing Levine. Timestamps, I saw this on your story, timestamps seem to suggest this was kind of June of this year. So pretty recent. Levine had to put out a statement and he wrote on Instagram saying, a lot is being said about me right now and I want to clear the air. I use poor judgment in speaking with anyone other than my wife in any kind of flirtatious manner. I did not have an affair. Nevertheless, I crossed the line during a regrettable period in my life. In certain instances, it became inappropriate. I have addressed that and taken proactive steps to remedy this with my family. My wife and my family is all I care about in this world. To be this naive and stupid enough to risk the only thing that truly matters to me was the greatest mistake I could ever make. I will never make it again. I take full responsibility. We will get through it and we will get through it together. Snooze, the usual kind of thing, right? Like, grand, whatever you want to say. Since then, we've had a couple of more allegations. A comedian, Marika.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell.
Yeah, Marika probably sounds a bit more, yeah.
Yeah.
She also shared screenshots of alleged DMs where they were being very flirtatious. It was very sexual. Sumner returned to TikTok to clarify a few points that she had tried to tell Bahati what was going on. She told a little bit more detail about the story trying to be leaked to the tabloids. And she kind of shared a little bit more about feeling like kind of sorry about the situation and said she didn't want to come out and try and paint herself as the victim. Is that everything? She got called for comment. And that's when she, that's the latest, right? We're all up to date.
Yeah, well, there's a few tangential stories, but yeah, like that's pretty much up to date from Adam's side.
From Adam's side. So we had another debunking during the week. Another thing I saw on her Instagram story was another woman who came forward, but it seemed as if those messages seemed a little bit more innocent maybe. And it seemed it was being maybe led from her side rather than in the other screenshots where we saw that it was very much Adam was the kind of pursuer. Right?
Yes, yes. And then we had a yoga teacher. I don't know if you saw those as well.
The yoga teacher.
But it sounded like, from what I read, the message was accidentally sent to her. Because so it wasn't meant for you, but you felt it was inappropriate. So the yoga teacher, again, not to dismiss, but I'm kind of dismissing her.
Yeah, and this is the problem with these kind of allegations, right? Is because you get a few then that don't seem to add up. It almost devalues the ones that actually do have a lot of evidence behind them. Because I mean, Sumner seems to have a pretty clear story. It seems to line up with dates in his life. It's coming from his verified, look, we know that these screenshots could be doctored, right? But on the face of it, it looks like it's coming from his official account. He's put out this wishy-washy statement where he's like, oh, I'm going to work on it with my wife and I made a mistake and yada, yada, yada. And then you have this other commentary that's happening where you have Sarah Foster, the daughter of David Foster, of Yolanda Foster, of that link, saying that Sumner should have taken responsibility. You have Emily Ratajkowski coming in saying it shouldn't be put on the women. It's gotten very messy. And I feel like we've gotten away from the fact that Adam Levine, at the very lowest of levels, he has admitted to sending incredibly inappropriate messages to women on Instagram while his wife is at home carrying their children. And if that is all that is true, that's pretty shit. Like,
exactly. And that's like, to me, it's like, look, let's look past all of like, you know, him saying, I want to see your booty and all of those things. He told women about his unborn child. And that alone would make me want to throw him out of a window. You know, it's like first asking, oh, can I name my son after you? And then the second, Marika, you know, him revealing the gender of the baby that nobody has known and the name they want to give. So now let's think that two of the names that Bahati has considered for her unborn son, she now has to throw out the window because they've been revealed to the world.
Yeah. It's such a betrayal, and that people now are kind of saying, oh, well, no, they didn't have sex and like they didn't hook up and they never met in real life and it wasn't an affair. And I'm like, sorry, if that's the bar that you are setting for yourself, fine, that's grand. It's not the bar I'm setting for myself. I'm setting a slightly higher standard here. Like, it's outrageous. I mean, for Bahati, she hasn't kind of commented on it, right? She hasn't put out any statements. She's not said anything. It's obviously a terrible time for this to be coming out. She is, you know, having her third child. Presumably she's kind of into the second trimester around that time. I don't think they gave any due date or anything like that on Instagram.
No.
But it's like, it's shocking. And I find the conversation about, you know, the role Sumner played in pursuing this relationship, the thing that Sarah Foster brought up about, you know, if you're a married man talking to other women, that's shit. But if you're a woman talking to a married man, that's also shit. And I was on Louise McSherry's podcast last week and I said about, it reminded me of, do you know that Gilmore Girls moment where Lorelai finds out that Rory is hooking up with Dean and she's like,
I didn't watch Gilmore Girls.
Oh, okay. Well, Rory is hooking up with Dean, her ex-boyfriend, who's now married, and her mom comes down on her, Lorelai, and she's like, Rory, this is bad. Like, you need to take responsibility in this as well. And that definitely comes to mind. But what we also need to acknowledge here is there's a huge power imbalance here, right? Like, Sumner was in her early 20s and she was new to LA. And Adam you mightn't think is, you know, a huge star, but he's pretty household name. Like, especially in America, right? Like, at that time, he would have been on like The Voice and stuff, which is huge over there.
Yeah, well, when we saw the pictures the next day of, you know, him and Bahati together, or was the first time we'd seen them together, the one thing that stood out in the article was their $52 million house. I'm like, these are people that have a very grand life together. Adam has made a lot of money. Yes, Bahati's made a lot of money, but Adam is very, very rich. And so,
I mean, how does Bahati handle, how does she play this now? You know, like, does she do the kind of Khloe Kardashian thing and just bunker down? And just kind of, I feel like that's where she's going with this. It feels like if she's not commented by now, she's probably just like, I'm focusing on a pregnancy.
Well, she's not going to comment. And I'll be honest, I've come sort of like all over the hills and valleys with this because, you know, another video came out of a person who said that their ex-boyfriend used to date Bahati and that she said she thought it was known in Hollywood, allegedly, that they had this open type of relationship. And so I know that that's the rumor that's been going around, is that like they understood that they could sort of like go their own ways and that maybe she's not saying anything because like she didn't get caught because maybe the men in her life aren't being messy. And so,
yeah,
which look, I would love to see that. I mean, can you imagine if the men started getting messy? I would love that. It would feel more equal in this world instead of just the women always revealing.
You know, I feel like we could enjoy it a little bit more because it feels like a woman has just been totally destroyed here. There's other women saying that they've been manipulated and used by Adam. So it just feels like, yet again, the women are losing. So I kind of like if Bahati came out to be a little like playing the part as well.
And I would also just love it. Like, look, open relationships are a thing. And I would love if a high profile couple said, look, this is how we live our life. It's none of your business, but I know we're public figures, so we're going to come out and say it. It would just be kind of cool for all the other people. So, you know, I wish that sort of happened. But I think Bahati is just sort of going to like, be like, look, I have this pregnancy to get through. Now I know you're not going anywhere. You stay at home. We're going to get through this. And like, let's just mind our business. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Adam Levine had kind of come to this place. I don't know. I feel like from our perception over here, it's like Maroon 5 is a fairly inoffensive band. Like they're not like hardcore rock stars. I can't remember any huge scandal with Adam Levine other than the kind of the relationship before Bahati's, who was with another Victoria's Secret angel. And there was those rumors that he met Bahati at the Victoria's Secret show while he was dating. But like that's about as hot as it got with him. She was also pretty clean. They were kind of this cool, attractive young couple, like fairly innocent. And I feel like The Voice really sanitized his image and made him a really family friendly rock star. And this has kind of shaken that a little bit loose, right? Like that's kind of changed the perception.
A little bit, but then it's also like he'll still be fine because I think because he is a rocker, it actually gives him a little bit of edge to people, which is like, I know it sounds insane, but it's like, okay, maybe you're not so squeaky clean, but maybe I kind of like it that you're not too squeaky clean and I can get into you again. We're screwed up in that way.
I know, like I kind of like there's some grit there that you're not like, yeah, squeaky clean is right. Do you look, this is all speculative and there's no way of proving anything like 100%, but like, I believe Sumner Stroh. It feels like a very watertight story that she's told, right?
Yeah, I absolutely, like the minute I heard the story, there was nothing in me that did not believe anything. And it's like, I absolutely believe that, you know, they were having some type of relationship. I personally believe that they did meet in person because, you know, based on those messages, it sounds like it is.
Yeah.
None of the other women have admitted to seeing him in person. So it's kind of like she's the only one, but I believe her. I do. Yeah. Now, of course, what comes with all of that are now the people who want to come after her and be like, she was such a bully growing up and all of those things, which is like the extra.
Yeah. I mean, that also has nothing. That kind of has nothing to do with it. Like just because she might've been an asshole 5 years ago, doesn't mean that she could, like, you know what I mean? Like we've all done shit that we probably regret.
Absolutely.
Like it doesn't really have any bearing. I find it very, very interesting. I am loving the analysis of Adam's flirting style, like his you're so fucking hot and all the memes that go along. Like, I mean, I would like to say that he's got that edge now, like we were just saying there, but like his flirting game is like seriously, seriously dull. Like
all of those text messages do was prove the point of like, you know how we always say like hot people just don't have to try as hard, right? And that's why they don't have any game. And it's like, that's what it felt like to me is like, you think you can just say like two words and we're going to like fall all over you. And it's like, oh, it was so funny too. I remember this story when all of this came out, like during quarantine, you know, I was staying with a bunch of people. And one night we were like drunk or whatever. And I remember we DM'd Adam Levine. I don't remember why, but it was like we did. And it was just funny. He never wrote back, obviously.
Oh, no.
But like when this all came out, it was like, what if we had been like his type? Like the possibility that he could have responded is amazing to me.
Can you imagine if you guys caught him? Can you imagine the like detailed receipts that we would get if we actually had like all of the information?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's like, and people get on this whole thing of like, oh, you know, like, why were they screenshotting? Let's be real. If anyone slides into your DM, you are screenshotting every moment of that. So it's like, I don't even put that on her. Like, come on.
I don't understand people being like, it seems very suspicious that she'd have these pictures. I'm like, if my friend sent me something a little bit catty, I'd be screenshotting that and sending it to someone, being like, look what she just said. Like,
totally.
Like, why would you not screenshot this? Like, it's crazy. It also brought up this conversation about vanish mode and what all this was on Instagram. And I feel like we all had a bit of a nightmare trying to figure out, like, do I have this update? Like, is this a type of Instagram feature that I have where it was like, if you've read the message, it's then deleted, kind of like a Snapchat story, right? Like that kind of.
Yeah. It's like, if you swipe up in your DMs, the screen turns black, and then everything you send, as soon as they open it and close it, it goes away. I think it's a newer feature, but I didn't think people knew about it. And what's so funny is people were like, when I was posting how to do it, people were like, don't tell anyone. We need people to, and I'm like, come on. I don't think that I'm revealing. And someone made a good point too, is like, guys like that who have that much power, and I'm not saying just Adam, I'm saying all guys who have power, or even women, people who have power and money, sometimes they just don't care. And sometimes they might do these things because, let's say down the road, this scandal comes out and they're irrelevant. It might make them relevant again. Yeah. You know, like, they realize that, like, bad publicity isn't always the end. It's not going to kill his career. He's probably going to make more money this year than ever.
Yeah. And while I always say this about the Kardashians, that they kind of bank all of these stories to use them when and if they need them. And while a negative story right now mightn't be good for them or good for Adam, like you say, in 3 years' time, if he's like struggling to get attention on certain projects, a bad news story can be enough to generate that interest again and then get that conversation started. So, like,
absolutely,
for sure. I guess I just find that that conversation that Emily Ratajkowski started about putting the blame on the women and all that kind of stuff so interesting, that I'm just like, let's just break it down to like the very, what he has admitted to doing at the very lowest level. Just not it.
I love the think pieces that come out of this, like, nonsense news, though. It is really amazing.
Okay, on to the next one. This has been out a couple of weeks, but I've only been watching it in the last couple of nights. It is the Armie Hammer, The House of Hammer, 3-part documentary series. It's on Discovery Plus. You should have it on your Skybox if anyone hasn't watched it. I'm just starting episode 3. It's very shocking. Trigger warning ahead of this discussion. We're going to be talking about things like sexual assault, rape, thoughts of suicide, things like that. So just a little warning before we get into it. For anyone who doesn't know, Armie Hammer was a pretty, again, inoffensive kind of Hollywood heartthrob back in like 2019, 2020. He was kind of building up his career. He was getting more movies under his belt. Call Me By Your Name was the big one that everyone would have known him from, starring alongside Timothy Chalamet. And then the story shifted. In early 2021, unverified messages from Armie Hammer that allegedly had been sent to women surfaced on social media. One of his exes began anonymously posting messages in which Hammer allegedly texted that he was a cannibal and that he wanted to eat her. Now, this was the part of the text that became headline news and almost distracted from a lot of the other conversations that happened around that time. Hammer has denied all of these allegations and says that any and all interactions with these partners were completely consensual. But numerous women have come forward and accused him of abuse, coercion, and even rape, which did lead to an LAPD investigation. One woman who claimed she was in a relationship with Hammer told Page Six, "If I had a little cut in my hand, he would lick it or suck it. And that's about as weird as it got." And other women came forward with similar stories. Another woman who claimed to be in a relationship with him for 4 months said that he branded her with his initial, carving an A into her pelvis. And she said he would lick the wound as it bled. Hammer was dropped from a number of projects naturally when this all broke. His talent agency dropped him. Again, he denied all allegations. The documentary takes a look at these allegations a little bit further, the relationships with these women, the cases of abuse, but also his family history and the reported history of similar behavior kind of in generations past. What is making it topical beyond the documentary is his ex-wife, Elizabeth Chambers, has sat down with E! In the last week and given a fairly in-depth interview where she's spoken about it for the first time. She's discussing their current relationship as co-parents of their two children and spoke about watching the series. They married in 2010. They have two children together, like I say, and they separated in 2020. A couple of interesting quotes from this interview. She said that they are committed fully and wholly to their children and to being together as much as possible in a non-romantic way for their kids. She says she's processing it in a different way, but setting her daughter and her son up in a way that they're going to be empowered. They're going to know feelings are good and accountability is huge in our family. She said of the documentary, "I did not plan on seeing it, but I did drop the kids off at school one day and came home and watched it with my support system around me. It was obviously heartbreaking on so many levels, very painful, but at the same time, it exists. The past is the past, and all we can do is take this as a moment to learn and listen and hopefully process and heal in every capacity." Since this interview, one of Army's accusers, Effie, who was one of the original girls who came out and spoke about him, she made rape allegations against Hammer and she sparked the LAPD investigation. She's responded to Elizabeth's quotes and she has shared a series of screenshots, apparently messages between herself and Elizabeth, where Elizabeth is encouraging Effie to go public with the claims against Hammer. In one message, Elizabeth is telling Effie to stay focused on getting the stories on record, not just on the internet. After Chambers allegedly asked Effie if she's hired a lawyer, Effie replies telling her that she's feeling suicidal. And Chambers appears to tell Effie that she really needs custody of her precious children and asks her to file a declaration. She says, "I don't want to pressure you, but your insight is much more in depth than the others we have." And Effie concluded her comments saying, "Just some things to keep in mind before anyone keeps wishing rapists healing." This is like a new dark chapter in this incredibly bizarre and really, really horrifying set of stories. Like, I know you have quite a few friends, colleagues and stuff who do similar kinds of reporting to you online who were part of the documentary series. This is like layered, right? There's a lot here.
There is. And I will say, look, the Army stuff is bad. But I think the family history and that part of the documentary is what is the most like, whoa, because finding the, you know, this lineage of men who've sort of like gotten away literally with murder. I mean, the documentary gets into like literally with murder, I think is the part that needs to be examined the most. I think Army is he's a casualty. He's an effect of the Hammer men and sort of like how you were allowed to behave. And, you know, I think, you know, even the women in the docu-series, they say like, you know, look, the things I did were consensual. Effie does not. Effie very much says it was rape. But like the women in the documentary are saying it was consensual. However, I was being manipulated.
It was coercion,
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know if Army understands, because that is the only mindset these Hammer men have had.
Yeah, it's so true. I think they piece it the story together really well in that they kind of give you glimpses into these women's stories and the accusations that they're making. And then they layer that with context about his father and his grandfather and his great grandfather. And they really go back, and there is endless stories of them using their power to their advantage in various ways. I mean, they are mixing with the top level of power in the world. There's footage of them with American presidents and King Charles and all of these like global leaders. And you see the power that this family, I mean, I would have said I don't know about you, but definitely over here, an unknown family over here. I mean, I wouldn't have ever have heard of the Hammers before. It wouldn't have been a familiar name to me. I didn't realize that he had this lineage until all of this stuff started coming out.
Me neither. But that's what's really scary about like the history of these men. Like, you don't even realize how far it goes back, and you're like, oh, well, now I know why you are in the position you were in, but I didn't know. Yeah.
Because there was an interesting point in it. I think it was Army's grandfather or his great grandfather had said, it was his grandfather, because his aunt, who is another contributor on the documentary, who gives just incredibly interesting testimony about her family and what it was like growing up there. And she says about, you know, she asked her dad once, you know, why don't you become president? And he said something along the lines of, there's just not enough power in that job. And I think that just tells you what he was, an oil tycoon, and he came from that kind of line of money. I think that just speaks to the level of power that these men had and how able they were to just yield that in any situation.
Yeah. And we see it like, you know, all the time. I mean, like this expands beyond so much. Look, we're seeing this right now with Brett Favre in America. Like he's like the biggest football player. And we learn he's now been part of this fraud to just like steal money from the poor. You know, this is like a history, like a story older than time. And so I think it's an important story to share. I was very shocked that Elizabeth came forward and did this interview. And I was shocked to learn that she had DM'd Effie.
Yeah.
Because I have to imagine it's pretty scary to go against the Hammer Man, right?
Yeah. I also just found the tone of the interview really bizarre from even from E! News's perspective. It felt this was the kind of interview you could see Bahati Prinsloo giving in 2 years' time. You know what I mean? Like her husband played away. This is not just like a cheating allegation, right? Like this is not what this is. This is like far darker than that. There are rape accusations here. There are multiple women who talk about being manipulated into abusive situations. This went on for years with a lot of women, like I say. And the way they conducted this interview was as if it was like, oh, but you're healing and it's for the children and let's find a way to spend time together. And you're like, sorry, the guy was branding women. Like, let's not be like, oh, but it's for the kids. I'm sorry. No, like he is literally scratching his initials into women.
Yeah, it's weird, but I guess that's probably the only sort of tone she would have accepted to even do this interview, right? You know, which is like, then why say anything at all? Because it is super dark. And, you know, knowing again that you had reached out to Effie and that she had these other messages that could come back. I mean, maybe she had forgotten she had even sent them, right? You know, because at the time, maybe she was just like, scrambling. Yeah. I'm sad to hear that, like, you know, Gloria Allred, Effie's attorney, has now dropped Effie. I mean, that was sort of like a shocking sort of realization too. But I mean, Effie was saying she didn't even know Gloria was going to participate in this docuseries. And she seems like, you know, really against this docuseries, saying it's exploiting her trauma, which, you know, it's like, I don't know, because it's like, we want to hear what is happening, but we don't want to be exploitative. I don't know what the line is.
That's so true, isn't it? I find that with a lot of the Britney documentaries, that kind of that idea that it's important to tell the story, because that by telling the story, it helps her case, but also it is exploitative. It is everything that she says that she's been a victim to for so long. And it's similar with these kinds of stories. It is being packaged up as entertainment and it is sold to us as true crime, which we just devour now like it's not real life. And I kind of get that from her point of view, where she's like, this is not entertainment. This is an experience that I had, a very dark chapter in my life that I'm still trying to fight and get some kind of justice for.
I mean, yeah, it's a live, you know, case. I mean, I don't know where the case is, but it's active. It's live. It is kind of weird. And, you know, also, I will say it's also weird from an Army's perspective that he has a whole 3-part docuseries when he hasn't been charged with a thing.
Yeah.
Like there's two sides of it that are very strange.
And his legal team really lean on that in their statements naturally, that, you know, there's no charges and there's this, that, and the other. And I mean, I'm no legal mastermind, but I feel like I've been told enough that money can get you out of a lot of situations, right? Like, surely his family's wealth is playing a part in this.
Well, and also what we also know about documentaries is lots of times people get charged because of the documentary, you know, or get off, right? We just saw Adnan Syed released because of a docuseries, because of a podcast. So it can go both ways. Like, yeah, you might not be charged with anything yet.
Yeah. Is there a road back for Armie Hammer? Like, for me, I'm like, how could you possibly come back from these accusations? But then watching how E! News, and like you say, maybe that was a condition of the interview and they did it just to get that breaking story and that exclusive. But it just felt like, are we trying to like downplay these accusations to be like minor indiscretions of some sort? Like, I just don't know how you come back from that kind of accusation.
I think it's weird, but I think it's possible. Look, I will say someone like Kevin Spacey, done, right? Like, I don't think there's any coming back from that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I look at like a Mel Gibson, the allegations are much different, but he still has a career. I don't know. When you are rich and powerful, I never think you're completely done.
Yeah.
And so
a friend actually, texts me, she's watching, she texts me today being like, you have to watch the series. I'm like, I'm literally watching it right now. And she was like, it's amazing how much good looking white men can get away with. And mm-hmm. you just wonder, like, she made the point about who did she compare it to? She said someone else who kind of got it. I can't think who it was. And then she was like, Harvey Weinstein is looked at so differently. And what this kind of image and how it helps him. He's obviously an attractive guy. He's young. He's a, you know, he was a leading man, all this kind of stuff. And that has to play a part in the public perception. Like it just seems to soften him somehow. And it's just shocking to hear these women's testimony and then like look online and people being like, yeah, but he'd still get it. And you're like, what?
Oh yeah. That's the thing. Like, we are just so like, you're always going to have enough supporters.
Yeah.
That you're never going to be fully canceled. I don't even want to use that word. Like, there will always be enough supporters. I think if you're good looking enough, if you're rich enough, you know, it's if you're charismatic enough. I mean, look, there are serial killers in prison who still have fan bases.
Pull yourselves together, people. Come on. Was there no bar low enough? Jesus. Okay. I am actually vibrating with excitement to talk to you about this next stuff, right? Because as I said in my intro, this was my gateway to you. This was my introduction to the world of Kiki, right? Was through the Erica Jane from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, through all this mess. Bit of context for you. I personally am a new-ish member of the Housewives fan club. I started at the start of COVID because Beverly Hills and New York came to Irish Netflix. Like many, many, many other Irish fans of the show now started just tearing through it. I'm now on, I think, my 8th franchise.
Oh, amazing.
I've probably topped 1,000 episodes. Like, I think I've got a pretty good, so I feel like I'm in it, right? But I've not put in the time, like the years, okay? In Ireland, I know there's a lot of people who might watch Real Housewives, right? Stick with me. There's some really interesting discussions here, regardless of if you watch the show. But yes, Erica Jane was my introduction to you. It is a really interesting time in Beverly Hills. We're recording this on Sunday. The episode will be up on Tuesday and a brand new episode will be out on Thursday for Irish fans. So this should be relatively new for 48 hours. Get it in ya. We are having a really interesting moment with Kathy Hilton, Lisa Rinna, Kyle Richards, and obviously, I mean, Erica Jane is obviously a part of the conversation as well. Firstly, how are you feeling about this season of Beverly Hills?
I love it. I mean, I think it is so good. It is the one show that I like watch as it's on. Like I record it too, but I watch it in the moment, commercials and all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one thing I hate about getting it a little bit later over here, because obviously it comes out to late. So I'm like seeing like Queens of Bravo putting up memes and I'm seeing all these pages and I'm like a Bravo historian and I'm like, stop, I can't, I haven't seen it yet. It's so frustrating. It's a show that I really wish I could have that live viewing experience. Yeah. But it's a really exciting time, like I said. There is beef between Kathy Hilton and Lisa Rinna. We saw a lot of this in the preview trailer for this season. They have been amping it up for weeks and weeks and weeks while also delivering a really stellar season. At the minute, the cast is, or they're just back from a cast trip to Aspen. And Kathy Hilton, mother of Paris, for anyone who doesn't know, has been trying to promote her tequila that she is an investor in, which we now know is owned by Eva Longoria, which just fun little addition.
Yeah.
So she's been trying to promote it to the group, which is quite normal in Beverly Hills, especially, yeah, and many other franchises, right? This is a huge platform. These women are paid a lot of money to bring drama, cause shit, stir stuff up. And I feel like a kind of another part of that, you know, a perk of the job is they can use that platform to push whatever.
Sell out their products. Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck they want to sell, right? We've seen it with, I mean, Kyle and Mauricio, her husband Mauricio, has used the show as an advert for his real estate agency, The Agency, for like, what, 12 seasons? Like,
yeah,
that's been, like, he's done it. Lisa has done it with Rinna Beauty and with her new wines rosé. I don't know what the fuck yeah, whatever that is, right? It's not at all new. This is very normal. And Kyle and Lisa kind of took the piss a little bit out of Kathy, kind of made fun of her a little bit. She didn't really like it. She grew frustrated when Lisa Rinna ordered a glass of Kendall Jenner, her friend Kendall Jenner's 818 tequila. And like, shit hit the fan. It kicked off. It went mad. But we saw none of it because they were not filming in the van that Kathy and Lisa went home in. We are now being told by Lisa Rinna that Kathy has said that she wants to destroy her sister, Kyle Richards, and her family if it's the last thing that she does. Kathy seems to be kind of brushing it under the rug, kind of saying it's no big deal. We heard about a conga line that she tried to start a conga, like all this kind of stupidity, right? There's also all this stuff happening that there's rumors that Rinna is not going to be asked back, that it's her final season. She's reportedly asked for $2 million for the next season, which would make her the highest paid housewife in the entire franchise. And now it's leading up to this conversation between Kathy and her sister Kyle, where Kyle asks Kathy why she seems to hate her so much. And Lisa is just in there like absolutely stirring the pot, like just amping.
And it's like, why are you there? You're not even part of this family.
Why is she there? Why? I'd be like, can you actually just get out of here? I'm having a seriously important conversation with my sister.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what do you believe happened?
I absolutely believe that Kathy, you know, sort of like let out some of emotions when she was with Rinna. You know, they were at this club. I don't know what happened at the club, but she probably was feeling some type of way about something and she unleashed. And I think it was unleashed to the point of her ripping her glasses off and stomping on them until they broke and banging on the
walls.
The reason I don't believe that is because Lisa Rinna would be the first person, especially if she says she is texting in real time, Erica, Jane, everything that's happening. Why wouldn't she turn on that camera and show that?
Yeah,
that's my first instinct. If Kathy Hilton was having a tantrum in my bedroom, you best believe that a camera is getting turned on. And so that's why I don't believe that part. And so I'm starting to sort of like listen to all of these theories that are popping up. You know, some people believe that, you know, Lisa Rinna doesn't like that Kathy is becoming the favorite and she might be getting like paid more based on the amount of time she's spending on camera. So, you know, she really wants to knock her down a peg. Some people, you know, we know the episode before, Erica Jane had that whole meltdown about the orphans and the widows that her husband has stolen from, and she unleashed and it did not look good. And so is Rinna trying to take the heat off of her friend and say that Kathy said these things that weren't said? I have a hard time believing that none of this is on camera anywhere. And that's where, but I do believe there was something that happened. I don't think it was maybe as dramatic as Lisa's making it out to be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's a suggestion that maybe we don't see the footage because it's kind of like caught up in legal and all that kind of stuff. But also, would Bravo not say that? Would that not also be an interesting little soundbite for them to say, we have the footage, but we can't show you because legally we're prevented? Because that's a really interesting story as well, right? Like if it's legally being held, that it can't be shown. But I totally agree. I feel like this, and like, I really enjoy Kathy Hilton on this show. I think she's a great addition, right? She's a really good friend of, she really does her job as a non-main character. But I find it really funny, all of the people, this like sweet old lady narrative online, that a lot of people have been talking about in the last week. Like, Kathy Hilton has been around, like she has power. She knows how to use it to get what she wants. And I feel like this idea that she's like, oh, her name is being tarnished and poor Lisa is putting out all of these falsehoods. Nah, like Kathy absolutely has an inner to say, fuck Kyle. She can absolutely do one. Like, I totally buy that. But it was the dramatics of it, like the dressing that Lisa did, you know, like the little ornaments of like she was pounding the walls. I was like, was she? Like, I don't really feel like that would be how she'd vent. Like, I feel like she would just like scream a little bit and like that.
Yeah.
It just
I think that
like,
Lisa knows there's this other side to Kathy. And I think she thinks the viewers don't aren't savvy enough to get that. We get it. We know there's another side to Kathy. Look, I know that everything that Paris learned, she learned from her mother. So I know they have it in them. But I think she like took it too far because I'm like, we're not going to buy this routine of Kathy. You have to give us something else.
Yeah, I agree. I also just find the whole added layer of, you know, potentially this is Lisa's like fight for her job. And I mean, the requests for $2 million are pretty outrageous given her rank. Look, she's a very important housewife. She has played a really key role in the Beverly Hills franchise. She's obviously one of the biggest names of the entire show. But to put her at number one paid, and to me, it feels like an attempt at a distraction story that if she does get fired, she can say, well, look, they just weren't willing to pay me what I'm worth.
Exactly.
And I'm going to go on over to QVC and sell a few more cardigans. Do you know what I mean? Like it just.
I don't ever believe any of these leaked stories because last season it was the same thing about Kathy Hilton getting paid this exorbitant amount. And everybody that I knew who are reliable sources was like, absolutely not. That never happened.
Do we know what she's worth?
I don't know, but I mean, I would imagine definitely several hundred million, right? Like they're definitely up there. But, you know, even at that net worth, yes, she has the lawyers and yes, she could protect herself. But this is Bravo we're talking about, who also has just as much money as Kathy Hilton. And also they make you sign those contracts that say, you know, if we want to create a narrative around you, we can do whatever we want, you know, and once you sign that, you know, sue all you want. I mean, I just think the network would say like it's still good ratings. Go ahead and sue us. We have just as much money as you. Yeah. And so, you know, and look, I know that the cease and desist that were sent out by Kathy Hilton's attorney to, you know, media saying, I at first was like, oh, it's like they're trying to stop something from coming out. But sort of as I learned about cease and desist, you can also protect like when people are making up lies. So it's like if a rumor got out that was spreading to media sources, you could just be sending out the cease and desist and say, do not keep spreading this rumor versus like, you know, so.
And I feel like on the level of like legal letters to send out by celebrity, cease and desist seems pretty soft, right? Like it doesn't seem like a very scary legal thing to do.
It's like, basically it's like, just like shut your mouth or something's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I'm not going to tell you what, but something bad is coming. Yeah. Like it feels pretty soft, right? Like it.
Yeah.
Everyone's
yeah.
like, I've not always, the cease and desist.
Yeah. As a gossiper, I'm always waiting for like my first cease and desist. I don't want one, but I'm always
have you
like,
not got one?
I haven't gotten one yet.
Oh, what would you want to get one for?
You know, I guess it would have to be something. I mean, housewives related is always fun.
Yeah. Because it would feel a little bit like more frivolous, right? Like it would feel less serious. This is like the latest in the Aspen fallout. We also had a really interesting part earlier in the trip with Erica Jane, where she is talking to Crystal and things got really spicy and they're discussing the infamous $750,000 earrings that anyone who watches the show will know far too much about. We've seen John Hamm talk about it in the last week. We've seen many an unrelated celebrity come forward and share their opinions, which is very, very interesting. I know you have followed a lot of the intricacies of the legal battles and all that kind of stuff. Can you give like a quick update on where we are? Because it feels like she's trying to put out a story that all of these things are being put to bed. Crystal's doing a pretty good job of kind of checking those receipts and giving us a little bit of nuance. But where are we kind of in real time?
In real time, she still has several cases that are pending against her. And also, you know, one of the biggest one, the Regomas case, which is like this, you know, it was that explosion, the PG&E explosion, you know, the major burn victim, you know, he's owed millions. And so if they're able to, you know, they were married, they have community property. So like they can tie that judgment for that money still to her in that they had community property together. They signed taxes together. So I think there's still a whole long road. We saw that their house in Pasadena, there was an auction just this week. And so they auctioned off a lot of that property to pay back, you know, creditors and pay back, you know, hopefully that money trickles down to the victims. You know, that's going to be the hardest part is like getting the money to the victims because there's all these debtors that are owed. Now we know that the, you know, the Lion Air victims, they were paid directly, I believe, by the law firm, which is why when Diana did that whole thing, I'm raising money for the victims. It was like,
yeah,
you don't even know what's happening. They were paid. Jesus, and so now
forgot,
that money.
I totally forgot about Diana. She's so insignificant in this series. Yeah, she's right, so now. So like, who's Diana?
Exactly.
Sorry. Go on.
So, you know, so these debtors are getting repaid. Now there are, you know, Erica's being removed from certain lawsuits and she's having her, I don't know, lawyer or publicist, you know, tell the blogs that this is happening so that she can have some positives in the news, which is smart. Look, I would do the same thing if I had that much up against me.
Every win is a win. Yeah.
But these, when it's saying, but these aren't, you know, these are small battles in like an ongoing war. This is going to go on for 10 years. This is going to go on for a long time.
And I mean, it kind of secures her place on the show, right? Like, which you look for fame and all that, grant, whatever, but for financially for her, that's a decent paycheck coming in every season. She's secured in that role because of this legal stuff happening on the side. She needs this job right now, right? Like, I know she gives it the big one, kind of, you know, I have nothing to lose. Well, if you lose this job, hon, you're in a pretty bad spot because you're not making money off your music. You're not getting endorsements. You're not doing any kind of, like, her wig line. Do we know, like...
I mean, imagine. I wasn't buying it. It was like $500 for like the littlest extension. I mean, I'm not buying that.
Who the fuck was buying hair extensions from a woman who reportedly stole this money from like widows and orphans? Like, it's just like not the brand positioning that you want.
Yeah.
Like she needs this job, and they kind of need her as well, because she's a really interesting thread that's going to keep, like you say, rolling for a long time. So that kind of, I love all this speculation about who stays and who goes. And I feel like I fell into that trap of a new Housewives viewer early on, where if I didn't like someone, I wanted them gone. And then I was like, no, you need them to stay. Like, you need them to stay because they are important to the discussion and they spur on conversations. But I feel like Rinna, like, it feels like she's just run her course. Like, it feels like she's not bringing anything new. It feels like she's clutching at any kind of story. It seems just like disproportionate levels of outbursts to stuff. Like, where do you think the cast is going to be next season? Like, who do you think is going forward?
I mean, to be honest, if I were Bravo, I would keep the exact same cast because they are making money. I mean, like, they are still the highest rated show and they're making money. Now, if Rinna started asking for these crazy demands of being the highest paid housewife, absolutely you could kick rocks. But I don't really think that's happening again. I think that's like something that's being leaked by who knows.
Yeah.
But I, you know, look, even Dorit, someone who I started off and was just, I could not stand Dorit. Her. Has completely come around and like after So Chic with you know, Jamie. Wind Chimes, the chicest Wind Chimes. I was like, I kind of adore this woman. So each of them, this is what I love about Housewives. I can love and hate you sometimes in the same season, sometimes opposite seasons. And they're all giving that to me. So I feel like I just want to see them all. And Crystal really came out in this last episode. And I was like, there you are. I've been waiting for this, Crystal.
That has been one of the most enjoyable things of the last few episodes is there seems to be a real power shift starting to happen. Because there's been a lot of talk of this Fox Force 5, which is the Kyle, Rinna, Dorit, Erica, and Teddy, who is no longer on the show. But there's a lot of talk about them being really hardcore supportive of each other, not turning on each other, and the power that gives them. And I feel like in the last few episodes, between kind of Sutton's constant badgering about things, which I think has been needed, Garcelle kind of backing that up and really not backing down from a fight. And now Crystal being like, actually, I'm going to speak up here because you guys are pissing me off. Then you've got Cherie, who is a good addition when she's there. And then Kathy kind of just, do you not like Cherie?
I will say that's the one that had such high expectations, gave me nothing this season. So she's the one that doesn't need to come back.
I kind of like her. Is like, just even like the fun with signing her name on the card. I was like, oh, this is a bit of fun. No, you sick of her.
I just was like, you're not giving me what I thought you were going to give me this season.
I want dirt on Will Smith or I want you gone.
Exactly. What do you and Jada really think of each other?
Friends, is it? Yeah, I'm sure. Diana, no, I just can't have her back. Please tell me you don't want Diana back.
No, okay, she can go. She can go. What I say, I keep forgetting about her because she has more like offline things that are happening that are like relevant. But like, yeah, when I say to bring the cast back, not her. She's not, I don't consider her.
I don't consider her cast. Whoa. Scathing. Okay, quickly, it's a really exciting time in the next few weeks for Housewives fans. Two of my favorites are coming back. I love these two. Salt Lake City is back this week. It's going to be all the lead up to Jen Shah pleading guilty, which was huge news, what, like 2 months ago, 3 months ago? And it's going to be all of that build up to this, which has obviously been the kind of main story for season two and now into season three. We also have the beef between her and the new girl, which was playing out on social media over the last couple of weeks. Meredith and Lisa are trying to find where they are with each other after Lisa was caught saying that stuff on the mic, which was just like chef's kiss reality TV moment. Yes. Like stunning, like gorgeous. Heather has a black eye. It's like, it's wild. Do you adore Salt Lake City as much as I do?
So much. I mean, anytime someone tells me that they're going to Salt Lake City for a trip, I'm like, please like go to Beauty Laser Lab, take a picture in front of me. Just do so. I need pictures.
Yeah. I swear, I want to pay an extortion amount of money to go to the US just to go to that fucking beauty lab to be like, please, can I just pose in front of your building where this printer van was? And it's amazing. It's such a good franchise. This is only the third season starting.
Yeah.
So while there's a lot of people who ask me like, oh, where to start? There's so much. And that was definitely my hesitancy for a long time. And while I always say start with like a Beverly Hills or an Atlanta or one of the kind of OGs, Salt Lake City for a newer, shorter series, it packs a punch. Like it really delivers. I just
absolutely
good, right?
Agreed. I mean, I am gonna miss Mary, even though she blocked me on Instagram so long ago. But look,
I love it. I love so miss that. What was the straw that broke the camel's back? Can you pinpoint it?
I think it was Father's Day, and she was doing a happy Father's Day post to her husband, but the entire reel was like her pictures of her and montages of her and did not have her. And so I just like did a TikTok that was something like, oh, this is quintessential Mary. And I didn't even tag her. She started following me and I was like, oh my gosh, Mary. And then I don't know, maybe she didn't get the joke. And then when she saw it, she didn't like it and immediately blocked me after following me. Gosh. It was like the highest and lowest.
Oh God, they come and go just as quick. Mary. What a character. Potomac is also back October 9th. We're getting a 75-minute premiere episode. Ashley Darby is now single. And from what I've seen on Instagram, that is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Candace's husband is facing cheating allegations. Karen is also facing cheating allegations. And Giselle is linked to a former Atlanta husband. These ladies are just, they're so... you know that phrase like, oh, I understood the assignment, right?
And that's exactly
thrown around. These girls understand what their job is and they bring it every year. So that's good.
Rinna could take a lesson from Giselle.
Yes.
And you know, sorry, I totally had a block. What was her name? But they're enemies on Potomac.
Yeah. Karen. Yeah.
Karen, sorry. Yeah. They're enemies on Potomac, but at the end of the day, like, they would have each other's back when it really came down to it. And also, even if they didn't want to be friends, they know like what it takes to keep the franchise alive and not have to bring in too many new people or do too much. Because like when you bring in people that aren't friendly or aren't friends, it does make the franchise fall apart, as we've seen in New York. So Rinna should take a page from Giselle and Karen.
Yeah, for sure. I think Giselle is one of those endlessly interesting housewives to me because it feels like I'm really interested. We've heard that her and Candace get into it a bit this season and they're going to be kind of battling it out, which is really interesting to me because Giselle just doesn't give a shit. Like she doesn't care. Like you can say whatever. They have said some pretty nasty shit about her and her family situation and the father of her kids. Stuff that for other people just would be a no-go. Now, Giselle absolutely gives it as good as she gets it. But she just seems never to get bothered by it. She's like, yeah, whatever. Shut up. Like, I'm not listening to you. And it's like, how are you? It's like they go at her hoping she's going to go back. And she just doesn't give a shit. She's like, yeah, say whatever you want. I don't care. And it's endlessly fascinating to me. So I'm going to I don't know how someone like Candace, who needs to get a rise out of people, she needs to see them lose it. I'm really interested to see how those two temperaments handle each other.
It's not going to be good, and it's going to be great for us.
great for us, right? Oh, they're so good. Two, I swear, if you have not started Real Housewives, I have a kind of a roadmap of how I would personally do it. But if you want a lesser commitment, less series, Salt Lake City and Potomac. Potomac is going into season 7. So it's not as daunting as like a 10, 12, 13, like hugely long.
Yeah.
So, so good. Briefly, we're not going to linger on it too long because I know it's been everywhere. Have you seen Don't Worry, Darling? Did you go see it?
I wanted to go see it this weekend, but I ended up wildly hungover yesterday and couldn't even leave my house. So
I didn't need to go through anymore.
I didn't.
I had enough.
But I'm actually, look, I'm actually excited to go see it. I did have a friend who saw it and said they actually liked it.
Yeah, I mean, so I went to it last night.
Okay.
And I would say, I would say if you went in blind, not knowing any of the stuff, you'd be like, yeah, that was grand. It was a good kind of, yeah, it was good. It was kind of pacey and you kind of were, you know, yeah, it was good. Florence Pugh is incredible, right? She's so good. And yes, people laughed at Harry Styles in the cinema. And I really didn't want to like follow all of the like, you know, the commentary that I'd seen online. I didn't want to think he was shit just because everyone said he was shit, but he's so poor.
So bad. Oh God.
And because she's so good as well, it just makes him look worse. Like he had a tough partner to play off because she's so amazing. It doesn't feel like an equal. I mean, all of the billing is like Florence Pugh, Harry Styles, the posters, the two of them. It's a, you know, a leading couple. He's irrelevant. Like she leads it. She's amazing. It's so good. So yeah, but and I mean, I just think they kind of the balance of the story was kind of off. But it's I'm still really glad I went to see it because I mean Olivia Wilde is great in it. Chris Pine is great in it, even though I feel like he should have been in it more. And like, I mean, Florence Pugh is just stupidly talented. Like she's so good. She's just brilliant. Yeah. I feel like everyone knows what's gone on, but the latest is that Florence Pugh has posted finally about the film. She hasn't referenced Olivia or Harry. And we finally saw pictures over the weekend of Harry and Olivia having a wee kiss on a night out. So they're not done. I would say go to see it, even though all you think about the whole way through is just how shit that set was. Like how terrible that sounded for all of them.
Yeah. And you know it was. And that's the thing. Like no matter what stories they want to like tell or whatever, like we know there was a lot going on down behind the scenes. Yeah. And I would love for a Ryan Murphy feud, Don't Worry, Darling series to happen because that would be the best thing ever.
Yeah. I think this has done no damage to Florence Pugh. I feel like it's amazing because very rarely in these situations do the women kind of come out pretty unscathed. I feel like Olivia Wilde has taken a bit of a hit here. And I feel like Harry Styles has such hardcore fans that it doesn't really matter.
Oh, no. I mean, look, he allegedly spit. I mean, I know that we didn't spit, but like he allegedly spit on someone and nobody cared.
The goat was my favorite. The video of the goat. I was like, this. Sometimes the internet is a really dark place, and sometimes it's such a beautiful place.
Yes, yes.
Okay, our loves of the week, things that have been brightening your day as the days grow darker this autumn. You start because you've got one more than me, so you start.
Atlanta. They have the new season of Atlanta with Donald Glover's show. And that show is the most brilliant writing I have just ever come across in just so long. And this new season, I think it had a 2-episode premiere and I think there's 3 episodes out. And I'm just like, I binged them all actually yesterday when I was hungover. And I was like, I'm so sad this is the final season because I would do anything to be on the show in any capacity, a walk on. It's just so good.
I hate that when you know a series is coming to an end and you're just like, no, I feel like that about The Handmaid's Tale. I'm not ready to start it yet because I'm just like, I'm glad it's coming to an end because I didn't want them to draw it out. But I'm like, oh, this is such a loss to TV. Like, oh, it's such a horrible feeling. I don't know if this is a show that you're going to. Do you know what Married at First Sight is? Do you know?
I've heard of it.
Okay. So I did a wee poll with you guys. There's a lot of you watching it. I know a lot of people watch the Australian one, which is huge. The UK one was fine, but they've kind of started to copy the Australian format a lot more. And therefore, we are getting a lot better of a show. It's so good this season. It's so good. The basic premise, for anyone who doesn't know, is, you know, singletons who struggle to find love or just want Instagram deals and lots of followers apply for this show, and they are match made by experts. I did some air quotes there for anyone who's listening. Well, actually, no, they are trained professionals, but they're also TV stars, so just take it with a pinch of salt. They match make them and they send them off, and the first woman that they meet is at the altar. They get married, they go off on a honeymoon, and then they all move into this like large apartment building. Into each of the couples move into apartments. Every week there is a dinner party where all of the couples come together. They have a little chat. They have a little bitch. They kind of, you know, reveal secrets of their relationships, all this kind of stuff. It usually kicks off and there's loads of fights and screaming and all that kind of stuff. And then the next day they all basically go to what's called a commitment ceremony, which is basically like relationship counseling in front of everybody, where they decide to stay or leave. And that's basically how it goes, right? And one by one, the couples decide to leave and it kind of whittles it down. There's no like winners or anything like that, but it's just like, oh, what couples will kind of make the final commitment at the end of the show, yada, yada, yada. This year, couple of firsts. We had our first gay couple last season. This season, we have our first lesbian couple, which is really exciting. We've two men and two women. So we have two gay couples in this season, which is great. Up the gays, delighted for that. Great to see a bit of representation on shows like this. It's so good. There's some really good characters in it.
It sounds like I would love it. Yeah.
No, you would absolutely love it. It's like Love Island in that it's on nightly. So it's on four nights a week for like 6 weeks. So it is a bit of an investment.
Okay.
But it's
worth it.
It's good. Yeah. It's really, really good. It's really good. You shared a TikTok with me. I understand why you were loving this.
I had never. So this is like one of the things on TikTok, a trend is to like have a TV behind you and recreate the scene word for word without having to like look at it. And you know it. And this girl on TikTok is doing, she's only up to part four. I think it's going to take like two more parts.
It's like a cliffhanger. It's literally like a cliffhanger.
Of this 12-minute YouTube rant from 2012, where this woman went into Bath and Body Works because she was looking for these candles, this ice gingerbread candle and this other something candle, this candy cane candle, and she did not get them. And she goes on a 12-minute rant, and this TikToker is recreating it. I mean, hair motions, neck motions, the entire thing. I am mesmerized. She's up to like millions. I mean, the first video had like, I think almost 10 million views, and each video after that is getting more and more. It is the most entertaining thing I've discovered.
It's wild. And I do find that thread of content on TikTok so interesting. Just people like word for word, like the sniffs and the everything, the little breaks and the breaths and all that. She, like you say, takes it to another level in that like every hand gesture, every eyebrow raise, everything. You're like, Jesus, this is weird.
When people know how to do that, I'm always shocked. Like there's a few things I can do. Like I can do Phaedra's rant when she went off on Kenya about the, like sperm, when she was getting sperm. But like, I can't. And the one girl who, another girl who does it was like, you know, it's to me, it's like when I like a favorite song. If I find something online that I like, I just study it. And I was that's amazing.
But it's long. There's like four videos. They're all like 2.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like you say, we're only up to part four. So lame. I was like, this can't be. There needs to be a confusion. Did she get the candles?
I know, right? Like,
and what did they, I really want to know, like, were they worth it? Like, it's so good. We'll pop it in the notes. You can go enjoy it for yourself. Hopefully by then there will be a conclusion, so you won't be on the edge of your seat.
Yes.
Another love of mine, I changed this last minute because I saw it just before we started recording. We have a first look at The Crown season 5. Are you a Crown fan?
I haven't been watching, but I want to.
Are you more tempted now given everything?
I think I was always tempted, but like, yeah, now I think even more. Like have to.
Yeah. And we're obviously heading into like an incredibly interesting period. It's going to be the 90s. So a lot of it's going to focus on the breakdown in Charles and Diana's relationship, his relationship with Camilla, their divorce, obviously Diana's death. like the 90s were famously said to be like Queen Elizabeth's worst decade. There was a fire in Buckingham Palace and there was all this shit that came out. It was dark for them.
Oh, wow.
But great for us. It's going to be great, guys. We got our first look. It came out today, which is Sunday. It is Elizabeth Debicki in full Diana get up. She looks just like her. And it's also Dominic West, who we shouldn't support, but we will, because I'm excited to see The Crown season 5. He is playing then Prince Charles. It's going to be good. They're sticking to the release date, guys. We thought it might be moving back. They put a pause in production when Elizabeth passed away, paying their respects, you know, a moment's silence, all that kind of stuff. They're back on track. November 9th. It's not being pushed back. So we're getting it in a month and a bit, which is great. Great for us, shit for the palace, because they have their own publicity nightmare to handle themselves. So here's another one.
And you're gonna have to tell me offline why we can't support Dominic West. I don't know that, but you can tell me offline.
No, do you remember? I feel like it's not. I don't have any secrets. West got. Do you remember the Lily James when he was caught kissing Lily James and he was.
And him and his, I don't remember.
You don't remember this? So he was. He's married and he was filming a movie with Lily or. TV series, I think, with Lily James. And they were seen like kissing all over Italy or somewhere. And then him and his wife walked to his front gate of his house in some like English countryside place and put up like, and made like a statement from the front gate of their house being like, we love each other. Just leave us alone. We love it. Like whatever. And it was just like, what? Like,
oh my God. Now I need to go to YouTube.
Yeah. You look up the footage. I'm telling you, it's good. Your final love, which is going to be a love of mine real soon.
Tell I us. Love my new trailer for my new podcast that's coming out in October. It's going to be Kiki with the Talk of Shame. And it's just going to be all about everything I do on my IG page. Just like a lot of the news you need and a lot of the news you're nosy about and the TV you want to watch.
So good. So, so good. You also have just like the perfect name for this, you know what I mean? Like, were you not just like, this is meant to be? Like,
I mean, I was kind of like, I love that Kiki became the new moniker for gossip, because look, I'm a Sagittarius, this is what we do. We're in people's business and we talk about it.
So when is that coming? October.
In October, yes.
Okay. And it'll be presumably
it'll be on Spotify app, everywhere you get your podcasts. Yep.
That's how we like it, guys. Easy and accessible. Finally, we're going to wrap this up with a few listener stories. We obviously just spoke about Don't Worry, Darling. There, it obviously sounded like an absolute dumpster fire to work on for many people, which made me think about many a dumpster fire work situation that I've experienced and presumed that many other people have experienced. We were asking for people's stories about the colleagues from hell. I know I have quite a few. Kiki, do you have any?
It's been a while since I've worked in an office with other people, but I mean, when I did, absolutely.
Yeah. I felt like a lot of former colleagues came into my DMs being like, yep, I have a few stories. Hey guys, we rode through that fire together. We got there. But there was a couple of really bad ones. There was a theme to a few, and it was food related. One person messaged us to say her husband used to work with a lady who would assemble a tuna sandwich at her desk every day and drain the can into the bin.
Why? Why would you do that?
That's so violent.
That is, yeah, that is, those are fighting actions. Like, I would take that bin and throw it on your head. Like, oh. Are you kidding me?
I just think tuna is just the worst.
No, yeah, I cannot. That just is not. Any tuna related activities have to happen in your house before you get there. They go straight to the fridge and then you eat them somewhere.
Yeah.
Hopefully not at your desk. If you have to eat at a desk, it has to be pre-assembled at home.
Yeah. I always think like when I go to like the train station or an airport or whatever, and they have like those like ready-made sandwiches and stuff. And you see like a tuna sweet corn. And I'm like, in these kinds of situations, we should not be selling tuna when we could be getting on a sealed container with a person eating tuna.
Violent. Tomato and mozzarella only. Come on.
Let's keep it clean, guys. Let's keep it clean. Another person with a tuna related story said, one girl I used to work with, I called her tuna perfume. Ugh, she would eat tuna out of a can at the desk and then spray the worst sickly sweet perfume to try and mask the smell.
No.
When I was pregnant, I almost murdered her.
Yeah, like this is when you ask your boss, I'm working from home. Oh, and yeah. It's like, yeah, at this point, it has to be approved because that's terrible. Also, if you're spraying perfume, then you know you're already committing an offense to begin with. So why are you committing this offense?
This is it. And it's the sickly sweet perfume as well. Like you're not even trying to like bless my nostrils with something expensive and nice. You're like adding further insult to injury with some cheap ass body spray or something that you're like,
yeah. Like terrible.
Just vanilla everywhere. You're like, oh, this is just.
Yes. Vanilla and tuna. My favorite.
That's the Bath and Body Works candle that she's yes. Another person, she worked with a guy who took protein drops in the morning that made him fart toxic gas so bad that HR had to get involved and he left the job 2 weeks later. Now,
I mean, as he should. I mean, are you not embarrassed?
The only That's embarrassing. Thing to do. Yeah.
Yes.
I followed up with this person because I had some questions. They said, I was like, What did HR say? Was there a complaint? Like what happened? So she told me that a complaint was made because people had to leave their desk at times. So a conversation about hygiene and respecting the shared space was had with HR and a manager. Word got around pretty quick about what was going on and why this happened. His probation period was not extended and he made the smart move to leave himself before they got rid. Now, she sent a follow up and she said, just an FYI, his probation period wasn't extended, not solely because of the toxic farting,
okay.
But also because he was shit at his job and kept disappearing for an hour at a time in the afternoon. So all around, bad employee.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna have toxic gas, you better be the best damn employee ever, like, because there's like just no. And also go see a doctor, because I don't know if drops are just supposed to make that happen.
Finally, I thought this was short and sweet. A girl on my team said she, quote, needed time off to care for her dying mother. Turns out she was actually filming for The Apprentice.
I hope her mother had passed away, because if you are using your living mother, that is just bad karma. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I always wonder this, though, about reality stars, not like the Housewives and stuff, because obviously that's a paid gig, but for like Love Islanders and people like that who are on those kinds of shows, like, because there's a risk you mightn't make it big off those shows. So you kind of sometimes you want to kind of hold on to, I presume, your day job just in case. I'm like,
yeah,
what excuse would you use? Like if.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I would probably be honest, because I'm just like, you're going to get caught. Like, and if you lose your job, well, then I guess you better be really good on this show. I don't know.
Yeah. And like, did she forget it was televised? Like, did she not? They'll never find out. Like,
they'll never know. I'll be a big star by then.
That is it, Kiki Monique. It has been so lovely talking to you. I want to say a heartfelt thank you for all of the work that you, because I can only imagine it can be very time consuming and tedious to dig through all of these stories and put together a story on Instagram quickly, responsibly, for people to get access to the story really quick. For me personally, over the last COVID years and since the time since, it's been an absolute treasure on my social media. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for watching and listening. It's been, I enjoy it, so it's fun.
I mean, you'd be pretty quick giving it up, I'd say, if you didn't enjoy it. I am so excited for the new podcast. October, everywhere you get your podcasts. Kiki Monique, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much to Kiki Monique for joining me this week on the latest episode of Don't Quote Me. And thank you to you guys for tuning in yet again and showing us so much support online. Please do subscribe, like, leave a review, all that kind of stuff. It helps us out so much. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at don'tquoteme.podcast. And you can also find us on all of your favorite podcast apps, so you can listen whenever and wherever you like. We'll be back with a brand new episode next week and all of the latest goss. We'll talk to you then.